This morning, I believe I do have a message from the Lord. I believe it's a key message for our congregation. It's something that we need to take heed of. The prophetic word about God reshaping our DNA, I do think it's something that the Lord is wanting to do in fine-tuning and clarifying who we are, what's our identity in Christ. This morning, a lovely couple came to pray for me before the service started. And then Tian, as he was praying, he mentioned that God would come and speak into the wineskin and shape and work on the wineskin this morning. And I believe that's what God is wanting to do this morning, is to work on the wineskin, because the wineskin receives the wine, it holds the wine. And I do believe God is wanting to do some tweaks so that we can receive what He wants to do more effectively. And just on the back of the worship where we're saying, Lord, I give everything, I count all things as a loss for knowing You. I just think everything is setting us up for what God is wanting to speak. And this morning I want to speak about how to be the priesthood. Oh, the font. That's how to be priesthood, though. So it didn't stretch out when it got saved. Anyhow. You get the gist of it, eh? There we go. Thank you. Someone fixed it. How to be the priesthood. And we've spoken a lot about this year, that one of the key things that the Lord is emphasizing for Josh Jane this year is the priesthood of all believers. But what is that? You know that little saying, the priesthood of all believers, can come like these Christianese that we use in the church. And it's like, okay, that sounds amazing, but what does it mean? You know, do we all look like get the guy when we come to church? What does it mean to be the priesthood? And I want to unpack it, because I'm certain that none of us, I think probably the majority of us, didn't sit at school. I don't think some of you are sitting at school and thinking, one day, I want to be a priest. I don't think we think that, but part of our identity is that we are priests. I think we like the idea of being sons of God and fellow heirs with Him, but part of our identity is that we are priests. And what does that mean? So let's unpack that this morning. And we're reading in 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 11. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. And so we've heard this year as well that we are living stones being built together. But we are being built together in the spiritual house so that we can be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. So it's quite clear that God is putting us together, the church, to be a holy priesthood. Why? So that we can offer spiritual sacrifices that's acceptable to Him. That's what He wants us to do. That's part of our identity as a Christian. I am someone that needs to offer spiritual sacrifices that is acceptable to Him. Not sacrifices I'm comfortable with, that I prefer, that fits into my schedule. Acceptable to? That's a deep one. Just those few words. That's heavy. Not heavy in a bad sense, but heavy in a good sense. I don't offer sacrifices that fits into my frame of life and my walk of life and my... I offer that which is acceptable to... For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, this stone, the builders rejected, has become the cornerstone. And a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, But now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And Lord, we thank you for your word. And I pray that as we work through your word this morning, that you'd come and shift our thinking. Lord, that you'd come and challenge us, that we won't stay the same. We prayed this. Somewhere during the service, we said we don't want to be the same, Lord. We want to be transformed by you in this next few hours. And so, Lord, for some of us, would you come and challenge and shape us? For some of us, God, come and give us clarity. We might be doing what we need to do, but we don't understand why. Come and give us clarity. And Lord, those of us that are faithfully doing it already, Lord, I pray that you'd come and blow fresh wind. Blow fresh wind, God, over those areas of sacrifices. Come and stir it up again, Lord. Come and ignite us again, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you, just for a brief moment with me, to think how you feel when you are wasteful. How do you feel? How does it feel to be wasteful? I don't know if you grew up in a home like this. I grew up in a home like this where the tomato sauce bottle, at one stage, it gets turned around in the fridge. Because we don't want to waste that little bit of tomato sauce. We were not allowed to open up a new bottle until that one that's been turned around has been emptied, right? Some of you might have bottles like that in the fridge right now. We weren't allowed to open a new tube of toothpaste until you got a scissors. And you go, you remember that? You had to cut open the back and then you had to clean out all the last bit of toothpaste. And once that is done, only then can you open a new toothpaste. Because we don't want to be wasteful. I'm not sure if it still carries on, but I grew up like that. We don't want to be wasteful with what you got. I don't know if there's any dads in the house when you have a braai. It might be ribs or chops. And then the family, the kids or the wife, they say they're done. And when you glance over to that plate, you see that bone is not clean. No, my child, you are not done. In fact, daddy is not done. There is still meat on that bone. And we don't want to waste that precious meat. So give me the bones. Let me teach you how to properly eat meat on a bone. You can't waste the meat. Because we don't want to be wasteful. Wasteful is something that irks us. Especially when it's something that's valuable to us, right? If it doesn't have a lot of value, then we don't mind being wasteful. But if it has meaning and value, it irks us to be wasteful. But in the scripture we read that we're a priesthood. Now that, by definition of who we are, means that we've got a responsibility and we have a privilege. We've got something that we need to do, and we do it because it's a massive privilege. God has given us gifts and He's given us things to sacrifice and offer to Him. And now we don't, and we shouldn't be wasteful with what He's given us. We shouldn't be wasteful with the opportunity nor the privilege of what He's given us. We shouldn't be like the petrol stations 2 days before a price increase, where there's fuel at the garage, but when you arrive, they say, we're out of stock. There's nothing left. Because they're waiting for the fuel increase. And then suddenly, at midnight, everyone has fuel again. We shouldn't be like that, where we've got a lot to give and to offer, but we're not willing to share it. We should be a people willing to share and not wasteful with what God has given us. So what is the priest in the Old Testament? So the priests are those who drew near to God. They ministered to the Lord. They were close to Him. It's those who represented themselves and the nations before God in the temple. In the temple, take note of that. Before that, it was the tabernacle. And then it's those who represents God to the people. So the priests are those who draw nearest to God. They represent themselves and the people before God. And then they represent God to the people. Initially, God's plan and God's design was for the whole of Israel to be a kingdom of priests that would worship Him in that way, that would draw near to Him constantly, that would present themselves constantly, that would represent Him to others. But because of their disobedience and their rebellion, they didn't do it. And so God raised up a small group of people within the nation called the Levites. And out of them, they became the priests in the nation. That wasn't God's initial intent. In Exodus, it says, I call you a kingdom of priests. And now Peter circles back to it, because now through Jesus Christ, he's grafted in the Gentiles into this plan. And he says, now you failed. You couldn't do it. Because of sin and your stubbornness and your rebellion, you couldn't do it. But now in Christ, if you accept him as your Lord and Savior, your high priest, I now call you by a new nature. I graft you in. And now I bring you into that dream that I have. You are a kingdom of priests. And that's why it says you're a chosen people. He chose within the nation a small group of people for the task. So by nature of their birth, their descendancy, their offspring, they could be a priest. So if you weren't born of that race, that group, that tribe, you couldn't serve in that way. You couldn't have the privilege of serving God in the temple. It was only for an elect few. Now it says, now anyone that belongs to Jesus, you are now chosen to be a priest. You are now chosen to draw near to me, to enjoy me. You are now chosen to represent yourself before me and represent others before me. And you're now chosen to represent me to people, to others. We've been chosen for this task. It's part of our identity. We are not priests by the nature of how we feel or what we sense. We are priests by nature that we've been chosen. So if we are chosen by the living God, then we've got to weigh it up and say, whoa, this is serious. If God has chosen, then I need to take note. Because he's chosen a certain group of people in the Old Testament. Now he's chosen all of us. So therefore, I'm part of a new race. I'm part of a new people. I'm not black, I'm not white, I'm not brown, I'm not yellow, I'm not gray. I'm not young, I'm not old, I'm not male, I'm not female. I am a chosen one of the living God and chosen to be a priest. And so that's not based on feeling. That is based on his choice. And the reason why I'm saying this, because we need to be careful that we don't live out our Christianity on the basis of our feeling, our comfort. We should shift it and say, I've been chosen. And so now I've got to deliver. We went on holiday last year. And long story short, we ended up having holiday with one of the Springbok rugby players that have won the World Cup. So we're spending the weekend with him, enjoyed asking questions, getting some insight. And I asked him, he couldn't make the second World Cup because of medical reasons. And then he had a long, prolonged rehab time. And so he was with us while the Springboks were actually on tour, and he missed out on that. And I asked him, how does it feel to know that you belong there? But you can't be there. The fact that you're not chosen, how does it feel? And what happens when you are chosen? You know, whether you're on the bench or maybe just part of the squad. He says, when we're chosen, it's a wonderful privilege. But when we're chosen, we're there to contribute. None of us, not even those that's in the squad. If you aren't playing on the Sunday, Saturday, Friday, the weekend when they play games. When you're not chosen to play that match, you still need to watch video after video. You still need to plan drills and help contribute towards the success of the team. So when you're chosen, you've got to realize, I've got to step up. I can't just go on tour and have a good time. I'm chosen to contribute. And so that privilege of being chosen comes with a responsibility. And it's the same for us. We're chosen, comes with a responsibility, comes with a privilege. And so we need to take the fact that we are called to be priests serious. We are there to represent God. So we're called to draw near to him, to represent ourselves and others before him, and to represent him to others. The word represent, it almost has two parts, re and present. It's like re means over and over and over, repeat, over and over, and present means to offer, to give. So in one sense, when we say we represent ourselves and others before God, we need to go and over and over and over present ourselves before the Lord, because he's worthy of our praise, worthy of our lives. And so by nature of the privilege that I've got to draw near to him, I do it over and over and over, because I'm a priest who represents myself and others. And so I go before God for my life. I go before God for the brothers and sisters around me. And I go to Him and I represent myself the whole time. And then I go and I present over and over my God to others. So when I'm serving at Kids Church, I'm actually there to represent God to the children. Because I'm a priest. I've been called to represent Him. And so when I do it 3 weeks after 3 weeks after 3 weeks, I represent myself over and over and over. And when I leave the Kids Church and I go on with my week and I hit Wednesday, on Wednesday, I represent my God over and over and over. Because why? Because I'm a priest. So what does a priest do? Firstly, so in one sense, you know, there's this quote that said, oh, what happened to the time? Huh? So where am I now? So in one sense, when I come here, there's this famous quote that says, the minister says, God, set me on fire and invite the people to come and watch me burn. That is such an unhelpful way to think about ministry. It's good for your heart as a minister, as a priest, as a saint. It's like, God, set me on fire. I want to burn for you. I want to inspire people. That's good. But that shouldn't be a ministry mantra. Our mantra should be, I'm here to help you to do what God has called you to do. So you come and I'm here to help you. Don't come and watch me burn. I want to be here to help you burn for Him. And that should be the mantra of ministry, is how can I help you burn for God as opposed to come and watch me burn. You can do it. How can I help you? And that should be the aim of ministry. And why we're here on a Sunday is how can we help you to burn? Because we're all priesthoods. We're living stones put together. And as priests, we need to serve within the house. We've been put together in the spiritual temple, the house, to serve one another and to serve God, to minister to God and to minister one another. So quickly, firstly, so what do priests do? We present ourselves before the Lord. In verse 4, it says, as you come to Him, as you come to Him. That is the very first thing a priest does. It comes to the Lord. Before you think of service, before you think of representing Him, you need to make sure that you are presenting yourself to Him. That is the most important thing, is your relationship with God. You're a priest. It's both your responsibility and your privilege. It's an absolute privilege. It's so personal. It's like, come to me, draw near. As you come to Him, that word come means to literally draw near, to approach Him and come near to Him. Are you near to the Lord? Think about your relationship with God. Is it a Sunday thing? Or are you near to the Lord? Are you close to Him? Because He invited you. It's part of your privilege to be close to Him. That veil has been torn. Now we read here in the first bit that says there's a stone, a cornerstone. A cornerstone back in the day in Jewish times, it was the first very big stone that they used to build a building. So that kind of like set the foundation, it set the course. That big stone kind of like determined how the rest of the building will look like. And so everything was built upon the cornerstone. And it says here that Jesus is the precious cornerstone. And what He's saying to us is, as a Christian, build your life on Jesus. That is the most precious thing you can do, is to be near to Him and build your life. Your decisions, the way that you parent, the way that you love your spouse, the way that you serve in the church, the way that you evangelize, the way that you pray, everything should be built upon Jesus. He's our cornerstone. So how are we effectively priests? Firstly, we draw near to Him and make sure that we build our lives upon Him as the chief cornerstone. It goes on to say, some will reject it. Some will even fall over the stone if they don't embrace the message. And you might be sitting here, you might not be serving Jesus. You might not have been, you might not have surrendered your life to Jesus. But if I read the scripture, one thing is very clear. Jesus cannot be ignored. He cannot be ignored. So you're either going to build your life upon him, and he's going to be precious to you, or he's going to be the very thing that you're going to stumble upon in your life. Because we all are dead in our sin. And Jesus came, took our place, he died for us, and now he's opened up a way to the Father. But not only has he done that, he's presented us a way of life. And that way of life, it doesn't make sense until you've embraced it. And so from the outside, that thing looks like a stumbling block. But once you start building your life upon it, you realize, wow, this is the most freeing thing. It's costly most of the times, but it's freeing. So I built my life. I built my life on his teaching. I want to ask us this. If we're a priest and we need to build our life on Jesus, do you know his way of life and his teaching? For you sitting in primary school, for you sitting in high school, for you at university, for you doing work, for the mom in the toddler's room that can't see what's happening here, you can only hear, you sitting in the hall, I want to ask you, are you familiar with the ways and the teaching of Jesus, our cornerstone? Because if we're not familiar, we are not being proper priests who built their lives upon Jesus. It's both. We can't waste this opportunity. And we spoke earlier on about being wasteful. I want to encourage us, don't be wasteful. Use the opportunity while we are not being persecuted to get to know who he is. Use the opportunity. Don't be wasteful. Get to know his ways. Get to know his teaching. We've been given a great opportunity. We've been given a great privilege. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Let's build our lives and get familiar with it. Don't wait for Nicole's husband to come and teach you the ways of God. Don't wait for your community leader. You are a priest. All of us. I'm not a priest here. All of us are. And so all of us need to become familiar. Start small. Start somewhere. And get to know his teachings and his ways. Draw from the church. Draw from people. And get familiar with who he is. Okay, and then, so we draw near, we present ourselves, and then lastly, or not lastly, there's a few points I want to end with. Five points, but it's going to be quick ones, hopefully. We need to offer spiritual sacrifices. We need to present ourselves and offer sacrifices, because the priest offered sacrifices. And here it says, we are to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. So I want to present with you five spiritual sacrifices that as a priesthood we can present to one another and to the Lord. Firstly, we present our prayers. We present our prayers. In James, it says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. One of the ways that we approach the Lord is through prayer. But the priest also did intercession. They prayed. They represented the people. So they prayed on behalf of others. Your prayer life, are you praying on behalf of others? That's one way that you can be the priesthood, is to pray for one another. The priests don't serve outside of the temple. And so some of us are so busy outside of the church, we need to reflect and say, how involved am I in this house? Because God has built me here, put me here. So am I praying for people around me? And then secondly, we've got a prayer meeting here on a Sunday morning that starts at 9 o'clock. This morning there was less than 10% of our congregation at the prayer meeting. So let's be honest for a while. We weren't properly priesting this morning. Because there was an opportunity for us to come and present a spiritual sacrifice. Yo, but Kevin, 9 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, it's a bit tough. You know, it's like, look, I'm not saying as a leader, I want you at a prayer meeting. I want to draw your attention to a privilege, an opportunity that you have as a priest of God. And I want to urge you Don't waste it. On 9 o'clock on a Sunday is the opportunity for you to come as a living stone with the saints and to be a priest and to pray. If we have less than 10% here on a Sunday, we're not reflecting this properly. Let's be honest. And I'm not as a leader asking you to be here. I'm asking you to consider, are you wasteful with the opportunity and the privilege? And are you building your life upon the teaching and the ways of Jesus? Yeah, but it's difficult to be here with my kids. It's called a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. So by default, it will be painful. It would be difficult because it's a sacrifice. A sacrifice, it doesn't say bring to God the easy things. The things that comes naturally. I'm not a morning person. It's not saying bring the easy things. It's bring your sacrifices. The things that are costly. The things that are painful. And so being here in the morning and maybe stepping up in a small group of 4 people and praying out loud for the first time, it might be uncomfortable. Duh. It's a sacrifice. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be painful. At community, pray for one another. I know some communities are doing way better than others, but the problem is it shouldn't be determined by the comm leader. It should be determined by us because we are saints. But the problem is we don't come ready with a sacrifice. We just sit and wait. And so the community leader needs to get it going. There's 30 people here on a Sunday that's going to get the prayer going. No, we're all priests. We all need to bring our sacrifice of prayer. Pray for one another. It will be uncomfortable. It will be. What time does the coffee open? Yeah. 8 o'clock, the coffee shop is open an hour before the prayer meeting. The free coffee. So from the city, there's coffee for everyone. Fancy and normal. So you can come. If you need your coffee, come in time. But be here at 9 o'clock ready to bring your offering. With your kids. I also think that was good, to be honest. That was, no, I'm not, but it's something that's got to shift here. It's not a Justin thing, it's not a church thing, it's not the leaders asking, it's not a, and if it becomes a duty for me, I repent, because it will be a duty. I don't think offering and cutting up the offering and preparing, it takes time, it's effort. So if you feel like I don't want to do this, it's probably going to most likely, most of the times, feel like that. But that's why it's an offering. And so I come and I don't waste the opportunity and the privilege. Secondly, we present our bodies. Our bodies. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. In view of God's mercies, what do we need to do? Offer our bodies as a sacrifice. That means we need to be present to represent ourselves. We need to be present. We need to offer ourselves, our bodies. It literally means this. That's the Greek. It's this thing. Present it. Present it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. In May, we've got a wonderful privilege to serve the kids at the gathering. I think we've done it about a year ago, and so once a year, 2 years, depending on how the schedule falls, our congregation would be involved in serving the kids at the gathering. Kids here and kids there and kids. Like, it's a sacrifice. Present your body in view of God's mercy. Make yourself available. Why? Because you're a priest. It's an opportunity not to be wasteful. Yeah, but I've been with those kids for 2 hours. Offerings burn. So you might burn for those 2 hours, but come and burn together. Let's burn together and bring our bodies as a living sacrifice. Not because I'm asking you today, but in view of His mercy. Because once, like we read in Peter, once you were not a people, once you were not chosen, once you were lost in your sin, but through His mercy, He chose you, handpicked you. And He handpicked you to be built upon Him and to reflect Him. Because for some reason, he's decided to reveal himself through us, his body. I don't know why, but it probably reveals something of his mercy to the world. That even with our flaws and our mistakes, we've still been chosen. So there's an opportunity, whether you're serving at the kids' church or not, present yourselves. Present yourselves. At community, why do I not neglect the gathering of the saints? Because I'm a priest. And I present my body as a living sacrifice. I'm there, not just in heart, but I'm there in person. Then we present our praises. Our praises. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly profess his name. We sacrifice. It's so clear. The Bible says, you know, wondering what are the spiritual sacrifices? Boom! It's a sacrifice of praise. When we come here, we're here to praise God. Praise, if you look at the Hebrew words and do a study in the Old Testament, if you want to, it speaks about being vocal. It speaks about using your body. It speaks about dancing. It speaks about proclaiming who God is, even though you don't feel like it. Where worship is a response to God. If you see him and you respond in adoration and in worship, praise is different in the sense that you choose to look to him despite what you are facing. And so that is praise. It's a choice where the one is a response. And so it says, most likely as a believer, you won't always feel like praising God. But offer a sacrifice. Make that choice to, despite of your feeling, present yourself. Look, I know they just come to do the measurements for aircon or not aircon, but a cooling system. They've come to do measurements this week, so it probably will be ready come the next summer. So I know the building's been warm. I know these fans, I mean, it sounds like I'm Benny Hinn with a behind the microphone. And so we're dealing with certain practical things here. I know the worship is sometimes too loud, or the worship leader is like, I know sometimes we have a preferred worship leader. It's like, oh, it's that one this morning. Oh, it's that one this morning, you know? It's like, oh, I don't like these songs these young people sing. I want to sing Blessed Assurance every Sunday. I want some real songs. Or maybe as a young people, you're thinking, oh, I don't know this. I want vibe. See, praise is not about the music or the vibe or who's doing it. It's about your heart. It's about you making a decision to offer your body as a living sacrifice and making a choice to look to him. So that's why we come forward, so that there's not a restriction. We can just freely go for it. Look, I don't like the mosh pit. I know the young people love the mosh pit. I don't like the mosh pit because when I jump into pits. Armpits. For real. For real. So that's why I'm always just behind it or just in front or like real in front, so that. Anyway, that's my problem. But irrespective of the armpits above me, I will continue to offer a sacrifice of praise. I remember growing up in an AFM, we had youth songs that we sang on Friday, and then we had Sunday songs that we sang at church. And you know, some of those Sunday songs, I was like, oh, I don't want to walk like Adam walked, and like this one walked, and it's like all these ancient songs. Until one day I made a decision, like, I'm going to praise him. And so even though we sang bad songs, I was jumping there in the AFM in the front pews because I wanted to offer him a sacrifice of praise from a young age. And so don't come to church and hope for something that you like, because it's not about what we like or our preference. It's about being a priest to offer our spiritual sacrifices. And if it's you don't like the songs and it's too new and it doesn't matter. Present your body, present yourselves as a living sacrifice. And it says from the fruit of your lips. We don't praise on the inside. We can praise and worship where we want to, when we want to, but not how we want to. He determines. So we want to offer him sacrifices that's acceptable to him. Two more. Are you still okay? Two more. We need to do good. Doing good. So we present ourselves to Him. We present our prayers. We present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We need to be present. We present our praises. So when we come together, not just on a Sunday, even at community group, come ready, or at least understand that even though you might not be willing on a Wednesday, you might need to present a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And so when you sit there at community, don't just sit like, it's the middle of the week and it's a Wednesday. It's like, we're going to pray now. In that moment when they say, come and pray now, and you're feeling like, then you know, oh, I'm a priest. I'm a priest. So Lord, I'm gonna offer you sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise because you are worthy. You are worthy, and I'm going to give you the fruit of my lips, and I'm going to present myself. And the scripture carries on in Hebrews, and it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer sacrifice of praise. And then verse 16, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So we do good. Another in Galatians, they say, do good to the household of faith. And so many of us, and we need to be a blessing to the world out there, but we need to make sure that we're also a blessing to those in the household of faith, where we do good. Shaul and Jessica, they are moving somewhere at the end of the month, I think. They are moving. Shaul is someone that has poured out his life here. He's been moving stuff around here, fixing stuff. He's looked after your children. He's served so much. They are moving and they need a bit of help. There's a great opportunity to do good, to give of your body, and to be a blessing to him there. As a priest, we give of our time, we give of our resources to be a blessing, to do good to one another. That's why we make meals when people move in from another, that's not a town, another suburb. And they come in, we take meals. Why? Because we want to do good. It's our priestly responsibility, and we don't want to waste opportunities and privileges that we might have. I heard about someone that got an injury. They were in crutches for a long time, and they needed help with their kids. And someone in the household of faith drove their kids back and forth from school. That's wonderful. Look for opportunities like that. Ask the Lord for opportunities like that, because you don't want to waste opportunities that the Lord has presented here for us. And then lastly, before we conclude, we have gifts that we can give. We have gifts, prophecy, encouragement. And it says in Hebrews, encourage one another while the day is approaching. So come ready to encourage. Come ready to bring a sacrifice, an offering of encouragement to someone. On a Sunday, at a prayer meeting, at a Bible study, at community group, be ready at prayer meeting. Be ready to encourage. I remember at lockdown, we had limited meetings. We could only have 50 in a room. But what we decided for the church to do there is we said, come, we can only be 50 in a room. We'll sit out scattered, but be ready to give something. Trust the Lord for a gift. So everyone came prepared with something to give. I think we're wasting opportunities because we're not preparing something in the presence of the Lord to give to one another when we gather. So there in the presence of God, say, Lord, give me something that will bless the church. I'm trusting you for something. And sometimes the Lord gave me something there. Sometimes on my way to church while I'm driving, the Lord would whisper something in my heart and say, here's something, word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, something to give. We're not ready to give because we haven't prepared. We haven't asked the Lord. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. My son, Leo, he's 13 and a bit now. He serves at Kids Church. And many other children serve at Kids Church. Some of the junior youth serve there. But he's always enjoyed the opportunity to serve. And it warms my heart. Not because I'm his father and I can think like, hey, look at my son, you know. I'm the pastor here at the church, but look at him. It's not a sense of pride that I rejoice about that. I'm rejoicing about that because he's a priest unto the Lord. He's bringing his gift. He's giving himself. And he's bringing a gift that can bless. He's representing the Father to the little ones. I've heard that he shared some prophetic words at Boys to Men and at that place and at that place. And when I hear that, it warms my heart, not because he's my son. It warms me because it's his son walking in his destiny, being a priest unto the Lord and bringing his gift. And so that's for everyone here from age 11, 12, 50, 80, 90, 30, 34, male, female. Each of us has been given a gift. If you don't know what it is, start by just building your life on the cornerstone and just being his presence. You'll know. You don't need a survey. Surveys help. But you don't need a survey. You just need to be in the presence of the Lord and it oozes out of you. Be in his presence and ask, 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 and he would give it to you. I'm going to read the scripture and bring it to land. Once again in 1 Peter, 1 Peter 4, verse 7 to 11. The end of all things is near, even the end of the sermon. Therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received. Oh, whoa, 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 listen. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various form. We're speaking about stewardship. If you want to be a faithful steward, you've received gifts from the God, from the Lord, your God. Don't waste the privilege and opportunity. Don't be wasteful, but use it. It says that each of you can if you feel like it. Each of you, if you're in the mood. Each of you, if it fits in your schedule. Now, each of you should. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. Draw near. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So we bring glory to him as we make sure we present ourselves, we draw near, and then we offer our lives, our gifts, as it says there. But the thing is, if you're not present, if you're not intentional, you're not ready to give your gift, and then you're wasting the opportunity and the privilege. So church, let's not be a people that waste our opportunities. It says that we should, each of you should use whatever gift you have received. Be faithful stewards of that gift, be it prophecy, words of knowledge, serving. So if you're not serving, my encouragement to you this morning is, take up this wonderful privilege. You've been chosen for this task. Don't ignore it. Don't waste it. You're not always going to get opportunity to have a microphone, but there's opportunity in the coffee shop. There's opportunity here after service. There's opportunity before prayer meeting, because we're all going to be here after prayer meeting, because we're all going to be at the prayer meeting, right? So there's going to be opportunity before and after the prayer meeting, because we're all here, because we're priests. At community, there is opportunity. If you are already serving, I trust that something has been clarified this morning and that you would realize every time you are doing so, you are representing as a priest your God to those that you are serving.